Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Well, again, thank you guys for joining us today, Crosstown Church of Memphis, another online church service. And we are continuing a series that we started a few weeks ago called Beans, Rice, Jesus Christ, and Byron. And the subtitle, well, I'm not going to tell you what the subtitle of today's lesson is. I'll get that to you later. But what I do want to do is I want to start off with a story for today. All right. The story, you guys, I don't know if you want to call it a story. Let's just call it walking down memory lane. We're going to start off by walking down memory lane today. I remember, I have many memories at Cherokee Elementary School. A lot of you on here are familiar with Cherokee Elementary School. That's where I spent some of my grade school years at, or elementary school years at. And so Cherokee was a great school. I got a lot of fond memories when I was there at Cherokee's. When I was at Cherokee, a lot of my memories, probably very similar to some of you guys, a lot of my memories took place during recess on the blacktop. You know, the blacktop, I don't know what it's like today, but I know back in my day, the blacktop was the place to be. It was where things went down. It's where, if something was going to happen, that's where it happened, that on the blacktop. And during recess, I enjoyed recess. It was a fun time. You know, I remember, you know, lining up to go outside. You know, all of our teachers would line us up and we would all be in a single file line. I don't even know if they still do that in grade schools today, line people up, line kids up to go in and out and do all kind of stuff. Well, anyway, lining up, you know, you playing them games in the line, you know, skipping each other, touching each other. Don't touch me. I ain't touch you. All kind of stuff like that. You know, I remember, you know, on the blacktop is where I had my first official girlfriend. It happened on the blacktop. And, you know, we never did do anything like kiss or hug or nothing like that. And we didn't make out nothing. We just said we were boyfriend and girlfriend. That was it. But that's why I had my first official girlfriend at recess on the blacktop. I remember we used to have May Day. Some of y'all are probably too young to remember May Day. But we used to have May Day, the 1st of May every year. You know, a big old activity that a lot of us look forward to. It took place on the blacktop. Some of y'all know two square and maybe even four square on the blacktop, jump rope on the blacktop, hopscotch on the blacktop. And, you know, one of my favorite games that took place on the blacktop sometimes, but sometimes it took place in the field. Most of the time it took place in the field just off of the blacktop. And that is kickball. Kickball was like my favorite, you know, recess activity. And I got a lot of fun memories of playing kickball and having a great time with a lot of my friends, you know, growing up. You know, one thing about kickball, though, it was kind of starting the game off was kind of special. It was kind of unique, you know, and some of y'all, if you remember the way you used to do it is two kids were always somehow selected to be, you know, the team captains. And those two kids, you know, it was never no system of how it happened. Most of the time, it seemed like it was like either the most popular or the most athletic person just jumped in and became, you know, the one that picked. And what they would do is they would stand across from everybody who wanted to play. So you would have all these kids out there. They want to play kickball and two people would pick and they would take turns pick. You know, so say like me and Marguerite, we picking, you know, I would pick first and then Marguerite would pick and then I would pick and then Marguerite would pick. And so, you know, go through this whole series until you have a complete team. Right. Y'all remember that? I'm sure you do remember that. I have a video I want to share with you guys. So let's watch this video and then we'll continue on. All right.
Mm-hmm. right, you got first pick.
No, you go first.
All right. James. Stacy. We'll take Natalie. Matt. Whitney.
All right, Daniel.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll take Hector. Yo.
Who's gonna finish mowing the lawn?
Hey, kid. You wanna play ball?
Sure.
We'll take the guy mugging that dude.
Star! We'll take the victim.
He just got stabbed. He's in no condition to play.
When is that?
Yes!
That's nepotism.
Sparky!
He is a dog. He can't even hit the ball.
How dare you?
How dare you?
Cornelius from the 1968 film Planet of the Apes.
He's not even real. He's a fictional character.
Oh, man. They got corn dog.
The mailbox from my childhood home.
Oh, yeah.
That is an inanimate object.
Abe Lincoln's ghost.
All right, that's just highly improbable.
The Barry Bonds baseball card.
Barry Bonds baseball card. The thing's on steroids, man.
The sample culture of the Ebola virus.
Thank you.
That's just a virus.
Have you seen it play shortstop? Nothing gets past it.
You would rather have Ebola than have me on your team. Are you serious? Why am I even friends with you people?
Hey, we just know you can't catch the ball.
Look, I can catch the ball, I promise, okay? Just throw it here. I caught it.
All right. Well, I guess we were wrong about you. You can be on our team.
Thanks. Means a lot.
Now toss the ball back and let's play.
Okay.
Well, hey, you guys probably remember, I don't know if you guys ever was that person to be the last one picked. I've been there before. I'm a victim. I've been there before. I know what it feels like to be the last one picked before. But that I tell you, going through that whole series where somebody is picking, you know, two different people are picking their teammates. And when you don't get picked like in the first two or three, by the time the third pick takes place, you begin to worry a little bit. You begin to worry like, man, am I going to get picked? And nobody wants to be that person to either be. You don't never want to be the person to get picked last, or you don't ever want to be the person that just never gets picked. You know, that's just not a good feeling not to get picked. Those kids, you know, that didn't get picked, you know, I know from experience, because it's happened to me before, you know, when you don't get picked, you feel left out and you feel unwanted. Anybody, if you ever been there before, just wave your hand at me and let me know that you've been there if you're on here. You feel left out. You feel unwanted. You feel, you know, real low. Ton waved her hand at me. I see you, Ton. You feel just low, man. You feel like, golly, am I that bad? You know, and you know that you ain't bad. You know that you got some skills, you know, but at some point it just becomes, maybe it comes about popularity or whatever. You know, there are people, you know, here's the deal. There are people that's in our community that they never get picked. They never get picked at all. You know, they never get picked to participate in any activities. You know, they never get invited to any cookouts. They never get invited to go out to eat. They never get invited to go to the movies. They never get invited to go to sporting events. And, you know, the list goes on and on, but they are constantly left out. Some of us can relate, or maybe we can identify some people like that. You know, they just never are included. They never get invited to participate. You know, I remember a time where one Mother's Day, Margaret and I, we had, you know, was at church on Sunday morning, on Mother's Day, Sunday morning, had a great service and everything. And after church was over, you know, there was this particular family. I don't know how this would happen, but sometimes, you know, me and Margaret end up adopting people, you know, over the years. You know, we would adopt college students. You know, I have there's a young lady now, you know, she works for the city of Des Moines right now. Very prominent figure in the community. She came from Chicago, and she was a student at Drake University. And I don't know how, but we end up adopting her. Actually, we didn't adopt her. She adopted herself into our family. Yeah. And she calls me Father Byron, you know, and we, yeah, Mother Marguerite and Father Byron. And Mom, you on here, you know, Shekinah, y'all are foot twins. Anyway, that's a joke between us and them, us and Mom and Shekinah. But anyway, we just end up adopting people, you know, for some reason. People just, you know, I don't know how it happened, but there was this one lady and her daughter and, you know, her, some other people, you know, in her family or whatever, her close friends. They just adopted themselves into our family also. And, you know, they just were just like on us constantly, you know, talking to us and they would invite us over to their houses for birthdays, invite us over to their house for this, invite us over to their house for all kinds of different things. And we would do the same thing. You know, we would invite them for different things. But there was this one particular Mother's Day, and we were getting ready to go out to eat, me, Marguerite, and the kids. And we were going to this fancy steakhouse. There was a guy that went to our church. He owned us. He managed a steakhouse, and he invited us to come out to the steakhouse for a Mother's Day dinner. They had a special menu going on. So we decided, okay, let's go, you know. And so as we were leaving, this particular lady, her and her daughter, they were talking to us. And, you know, I don't know how it transpired, but, you know, I ended up talking to Marguerite, and I was like, hey, Marguerite, what you think about inviting them out to join us for Mother's Day? And Margie's like, yeah, cool. Sounds good to me. I said, I bet they never get invited to go out to anything. You know, they never get invited to go out to a fancy restaurant or something like that. Let's do something special for her for Mother's Day this year, and let's take her with us. So we invited them to come along, and they came along with us. Her and her daughter came along, and, you know, we had a great time. They were real excited about going to this restaurant. They had never been to a restaurant like this before, a really fancy steakhouse. And, you know, we, you know, took care of pay for their meal and everything. And it was funny because we had ordered some prime rib. Me and her both ordered prime rib. And I had told her to order hers like medium well. And she was like, Pastor Brown, I don't do that. I said, look, I want my steak well done. I said, no, you don't do a prime rib well done. You just don't do that. You destroying the meat when you do that. I said, look, trust me. OK, I said, do you trust me? She said, yeah, I trust you, but I don't want no bloody meat. I said, trust me. OK, let's get it medium well, or medium or whatever. However we got, it was medium something. And so it was pink, but it wasn't bloody. OK, put it that way. It was pink, but it wasn't bloody. And I tell you what, she was so worried, so scared about eating that meat. And she finally took a chew of it, and she loved it. She loved the taste. She loved how tender it was, how it just, you could just cut it with a fork. I mean, it was just cooked to perfection, right? She loved it. But in her mind, every time she would look at it and see a little pink in it, she was just disturbed a little bit, right? And she loved everything about it except for the look of it. Everything else was great to her. And so anyway, she ate a few pieces of it like that. She enjoyed it. She loved it. She ended up having to send it back and had them cook it just a little bit longer for her. But anyway, we had a great time, and it was a great experience. But, you know, she was really blessed. Her daughter was really blessed to see her mom blessed. You know, this is somebody that, you know, always gets left out. This is someone who never gets an invite. And so this particular time, we just wanted to be a blessing to them. And it was just that. It was a blessing to them. You know, last week we talked about those people in our community that are labeled as sinners, and how those sinners, they're also a part of our community. Jesus, he hung out with sinners. He spent time with sinners. He went to Levi's house, who was a tax collector who worked a job that was labeled as a bad job. And also he was considered or labeled as a sinner for whatever type of activities that he did in his life that labeled him that. We know all types of people, all types of situations where people are labeled sinners. You know, sometimes we are labeled as sinners because of certain things that we do. And, you know, because when people are labeled, you know, with these negative labels, they end up being left out of the community element. And Jesus constantly was showing us and teaching us that there are a lot of people in our community that we don't actually include into our community, that we need to include into our community, because what? They are a part of our community, and sinners was one of them. So this week we're going to We're not going to talk about sinners this week. This week, we're going to talk about those that are left out, people in our community that are left out and they are forgotten about constantly. Jesus, he continues to show us what true community is all about. And true community is more than just your close-knit circle. So often, a lot of our activities, a lot of things that we do in our lives, you know, the people that we surround ourselves with, the different things that we do, so often that includes, or shall I say, is limited to our close-knit circle, and very seldom does it include other people outside of that circle. You know, it's more than true community is more than just the elite. True community also includes those people who are left out all the time. So if you're taking notes today, here is our subtitle for today, and that is the dinner party. And who are you inviting? All right. The dinner party. Who are you inviting? We're going to look at yet again, another situation where Jesus is sharing in the four F's. Remember, the four F's are family, friends, fellowship, and food. It's a gathering of people coming together to fellowship together, right? As a community. Jesus so often participated in the four F's of gatherings with people. We saw that one situation we saw, he was at a Pharisee's house. The guy was named Simon, and at the Pharisee's house, you know, Pharisee is a teacher in the church. He was a teacher in the temple. He was a teacher of the laws of Moses, Hebrew laws, a scholar, a religious scholar. So here Jesus is at his house sharing in the four F's, having a time of food, fellowship, family, and friends. And there was a lady there who was labeled as a sinner, and she was washing Jesus' feet and poured perfume all of his feet. And then there was a situation where he was being judged for allowing for this sinner woman to touch him. We saw last week where he was invited to the house of Levi, again, who was a tax collector and who was also labeled as a sinner. And he and his tax collector friends and some other friends, and Jesus is at their house hanging out. And the Pharisees, the teachers in the church, you know, confronted the disciples about Jesus hanging out with these sinner people, you know, these sinners. Why is he hanging out with sinners? And so, again, we constantly see in situations where Jesus is sharing in the four F's, and the people that he's hanging out with sharing in the four F's, he's being judged as a result of it. We're going to look at one more situation, another situation where this similar thing, where actually the same thing happened, but with a different type of person or different type of people. All right. In the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 1-6, it says this. It says, one Sunday of all days, right? One Sunday. Y'all know, what is it about Sunday that church folks after church like to get together and share in the four F's? It just is, right? Sunday is that family day where people just, you know, if family's going to gather together, Sunday is like a great day for families to, you know, come together, family and friends. It's a great day for the four F's. I don't know why it is. It just is, you know. And I tell you, boy, we've been missing out on some four F's lately, ain't we? And I'd be glad when we can get back to some four F's like real, real quick. But here it is. One Sunday, Jesus, he went to eat dinner at the home of a leader of the church, a Pharisee. And the people were watching him very closely. All the people, all the guests that was at this house, they was watching Jesus very closely. There was a man there whose arms and legs were swollen with the dropsy. I don't know if you guys know what dropsy is. It's a thing. I can't even pronounce the today's term for it is I can't even remember what is how to say it right now. But what it is, y'all seen people before, they have like their arm or their leg or something that's like swollen real big. Like one leg could be like the regular size, the normal size, but then the other leg is swollen up real big, you know? I remember probably about a month ago, I was walking out of my building and there was a lady who was walking in with a little girl with her, and she had on some short pants and she had one leg that was regular size leg, a normal size leg, and then the other one was swollen all the way down, you know, into her feet, just real swollen. And so that's what dropsy is. Y'all seen people like that have that before, where they have the arm or their leg. But this guy, he had his arm and his leg, he was swollen with the dropsy. And Jesus asked the Pharisees, the religious people that was there, the religious teachers of the law, he asked them this question. He says, is it permitted in the Hebrew law in the law of Moses, is it permitted to heal people on the Sabbath day or not? All right. When going on here in verse 4, he says, it says this: when they refused to answer, Jesus touched the sick man and he healed them and sent him away. Then he turned to them, the Pharisees, and said, which of you don't work on the Sabbath? Meaning y'all teachers, y'all religious teachers, y'all leaders in the church. He says, which of you don't work on the Sabbath day? He says, if your son or your cow falls into a pit, don't you rush to get him out? Again, they could not answer. Once again, Jesus is at a church leader's house. This is not the first time. Remember the first time we talked about he was at the Pharisee's house, Simon's house, when the lady washed his hair. Here he is again on a Sunday after church at a Pharisee's house and at a leader's house. And they're having dinner. They're here. You are sharing with the four F's. All right. And there's a lot of people there. There's a lot of guests that's at this house. One of the guests is a man with dropsy. One of the guests that's there is a man with dropsy. Have you noticed this? Have you noticed that at all these church leaders' dinner events, there's always one person that seems to stand out from the rest? Have you noticed that? You know, I wonder if this was intentional. I wonder if those Pharisees intentionally planted somebody at their events, at their dinners, at their home dinner events. I wonder if they were planning people there so that they could test Jesus to see how he would respond. You remember Simon, when Simon had this lady who he was thinking in his mind that if Jesus was a prophet, if he truly was a prophet, he would know who this sinner lady is that's touching him. My question is, bruh, if you feel just that strong about her being a sinner, why is she at your house? That's what I want to know. You know what I mean? So it seemed like there was always this one person that stood out amongst the rest. And sometimes it makes me wonder if they were intentionally planted there to test Jesus just to see how he would respond to them in their situation. And, was this somehow a test? Were they testing Jesus, you know, to see what he's going to do? Jesus, you know, he figured out that this was another test. So what he did is he asked them the question. Jesus was a very smart, very intelligent person. He knew, okay, y'all playing games with me right now. I see what y'all are doing. I got this. So this one person right here in this event, he's got the dropsy. He got a situation going on. And y'all just want to see, okay, I'm going to play y'all game with y'all. Okay, Jesus, okay, I'm going to play y'all game. He figured out. So he asked him the question. And that is, he asked him if it was okay. Is it okay that I can heal this person? Is it okay? I'm asking y'all for y'all permission. Is it okay, since y'all want to play this game, is it okay that I heal this person? And no one answered. No one would give him an answer. Why wouldn't they give him an answer? Because they knew that they were testing him. If they're testing him, they can't give him the answer. He has to answer for himself, correctly. If you're going to test somebody, what's the sense of giving them the answer? You know, if you're going to, it's a test. Okay, you tell us, Jesus, what is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? So since nobody answered, Jesus, he healed the man and he sent him on his way. He touched the man and he healed him. I'm sure many of them was bothered at Jesus' action, because the law of Moses says that on the Sabbath day, you are not supposed to work. All right. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. Jesus knows this law of Moses. He knows this Hebrew law. He understands it. He understands that, whose presence, whose company he's in. These are scholars in the religious scholars of the law. These are leaders and teachers in the church. He knows that they know the laws too. Right. So here they are. They got a situation. Jesus looking at this man like, okay, I see what y'all are doing. Is it okay for me to heal him? And he knows and understands that the law of Moses says, no, you are not supposed to work on the Sabbath. You're supposed to honor the Sabbath day. One of the ways of honoring the Sabbath day is not to work. For some reason, performing this act of healing was considered work. Go figure. I mean, like they say today, make it make sense. Make it make sense to me. Why in the world is healing somebody considered work? I mean, if that's the case, what else is considered work? The law of Moses said, yeah, we're not supposed to work on Sunday. Okay, on the Sabbath day. We're supposed to honor the Sabbath day. One thing, we don't work. Okay, what else is considered work? Okay, Jesus said, okay, so if your son fell into a pit and you go save him, you rush to go save him in the pit, are you working? He said, this man was sick and I touched him and healed him. I'm helping him out. Am I working? If your cow fell into a pit, what you going to do? You going to just leave the cow there and say, oh, no, we can't work on the Sabbath day. We have to honor the Sabbath day. We can't work. So sorry, cow, you're just going to have to die. No, you're going to say you're going to rush to save the cow. So he was letting them know that, look, you know, a lot of stuff that y'all considering work is not work and it's not against the law. Y'all making up all these religious laws that's totally irrelevant to what Moses was talking about. Okay, so I'm not going to go further in that. That's a whole nother lesson in itself. So I'm not going to continue further in that. Maybe we'll come back to that some other day, some other series, some other teaching, and I'll expound on that even the more. All right. But I'm not going to go further with that because that's not the point of what we're talking about today. Today, we're talking about community, right? We're not talking about laws. So here. Lost my place. Okay. So here we are. We're going to jump down the script. We were just reading from the book of Luke. We started at verse 1, and I shared some scripture with you. So we're going to continue in the book of Luke, chapter 14. In that same chapter, we're going to jump down to verse number 12, okay? So this is the same dinner party that Jesus is at this Pharisee's house, where this guy with the droopsy, you know, with the arm swollen and the leg swollen, and Jesus touched him, he healed him, and he asked him a question about, you know, is that work? Is that dishonoring the Sabbath day? All right? So drop down, same dinner party, same situation, same chapter. It says this, then Jesus turned to the host that invited him to the party, who was a Pharisee, right? He turned to the host. He says this to him. He says, when you put on a lunching or a banquet, don't just invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, and your rich neighbors. He says, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. He says, instead, invite the poor, invite the cripple, invite the lame, invite the blind. He said, then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. This tells me that man with the droopsy was probably the only one with something different about him that was noticeable. He had to stand out like a sore thumb. He had to be, you know, the one that was like, okay, was he a token? I mean, well, there was something different about him other than everyone else that made him stick out like a sore thumb. Otherwise, why would Jesus use this time to teach them about humility? Okay, we're going to touch on humility. Why would he use this time to address this situation that's going on with this man? Why would Jesus pick this guy out to take advantage to do a teaching lesson? Because evidently they're the ones who put him there. They're the ones who planted them. So Jesus was like, okay, I got y'all. Okay, so y'all want to put this guy in here. Let's go. Let's run with it. All right. Because here's the deal. Jesus wanted to use this time to teach them about humility. Because he didn't see humility in the room. He did not see humility being expressed by anybody there. If he did not see humility being expressed there, then evidently what he did see was something that was very noticeable as the opposite of humility. Okay? So in other words, why would he take advantage of teaching humility? It's because he didn't see humility. He saw something different. Here's what humility is. Here's the definition of humility. Ton, this one right here, this is for you, because I remember you said one time you were surprised because I always like to share definitions in my messages. Well, this definition here is for you. All right, I got one for you. Humility is this. It's the quality or the state of not thinking of you or not thinking you are better than other people. I'll read that one more time. Humility is the quality or the state of not thinking that you are better than other people. Evidently, they must have all looked down upon this guy who had droopsy. Evidently, they must have all treated him in a certain type of way that it appeared to Jesus that they was making themselves, you know, feel better, or they was looking down upon him. And they was thinking of themselves better than this person. Jesus was able to see it. You know, there are times where we're in a group of people, we're in a certain setting, and there's a lot of people, and there's somebody that is always, you know, it seems like a lot of people, majority of people, are treating that person like they're less than. They're treating that person like maybe they're dumb, or maybe they're stupid, or maybe, you know, they're nasty or unclean, or maybe, you know, whatever it might be. Maybe, something's wrong with that person, and they get treated a certain type of way. Jesus saw this. He saw how they was treating this person. You know, so evidently they must have all looked down upon this guy. Another definition of humility is this: it's free from pride or arrogance. Jesus noticed that everyone else that is at this dinner party were handpicked. They were all picked to impress. He noticed it. He knows, okay, we got a certain type of crowd here today. All right. We got the people that are dressed to impress. They are dressed to impress. Okay, we got the elite. We got an elite party here. You know, y'all know those parties. Y'all seen those parties. Y'all been to those parties, maybe. It's the elite. It's the dress to impress. And out of all these people, you got one person that's not. Must be a plant. Jesus, he wants us all to know there is another segment of people that we often forget about, or we purposely leave them out. You know, maybe sometimes, you know, we forget about them because they're simply just not on our mind. You know, we don't have any bad intentions or wrong intentions towards them. They just simply not on our mind. They're not on our radar. And because they're not on our radar, we just forget to invite them. We forget to include them. And, you know, it happens, you know, and it's real. You know, it's not our bad intentions for them. You know, it's easy to think about, or it's easy, you know, not to have somebody on your mind because you just simply not think they're not a part of your close-knit circle. And that's why you don't think about them. They're just not a part of your close-knit circle. So, you know, it's easy to invite them, or it's easy to you know, when it comes to people who are a part of our close-knit circle, it's easy to invite those people because we know what to expect of them. You know, there are certain people that we know that are part of our close-knit circle. We know inviting that person, we know what to expect. We know, hey, they're great company. We know that we have great conversation with them. We know that we're going to have some great laughs and some great jokes. We know that they, we just know what to expect of them, and we enjoy their company. We go, hey, we're going to have a great time with this person. There are some people, they're just not on our radar because we don't know what to expect of them. You know, I don't know, you know, about that. Maybe we just don't click like that or something. Maybe we just on two different levels or something like that. And so therefore we just don't think about them, and they're not on our radar. Then there are those that we purposely leave out. We just nope. Scratch them off the list. Nope. Scratch. They're not on the invite list. Nope. Let's not invite that person. And we'll do that for particular reasons. We'll do that for certain reasons. There are certain reasons, you know, that we'll do that for. And it's like, when we really think about it, when we really, you know, put our heart and soul in it and we think about it, those are really not good reasons that we do it on purpose. We leave them out because we want our invite list to be impressive. We want our invite list to be, you know, top notch. We want to make sure that the people that we invite, we're going to get the most out of that invite. We're going to get the best out of that invite. That's the type of invite. We want that list to be, like I said, dressed to impress. We want our list to show off. We want to show off. We want to show off ourselves, and we want to show other people off too, right? That's what we do. Jesus, he wants us all to be humble, and he wants us to think about people that no one else thinks about. He wants us to think about those people that are oftentimes forgot about. You know, don't just think about your family and your friends. And we should think about our family and our friends. You know, the four F's: family, friends, fellowship, and food. We should think about our family and our friends. We should include our family and our friends. But don't just think about your family and friends. Don't just think about the elite. Sometimes we want to invite people simply because they are part of the elite. You know, they're popular, or they hold a certain type of position, or they work in a certain type of a career or something like that. You know, we want to make sure that we, let's invite that person. You know, they're part of the elite group. But also think about the poor. Jesus wants us to think about the poor. Not just our family and friends, not just the elite, but think about the poor. Think about those people who are crippled, those people who are lame, those people who are blind. That's what Jesus told this Pharisee whose house he was in. He said, you know, you invite all your friends, all your families, all the elite. Why not invite the poor? Why not invite the cripple? Why not invite the lame, the blind people? You know, to these events, when you invite all your family, your friends and your rich neighbors and stuff, what's your reward? Your only reward is that they're going to invite you back. In other words, when they have something, they'll invite you. OK, that's cool. He said, but look, when you think about those people that no one else thinks about, when you think about those people that people are oftentimes excluding, you're going to get a bigger reward from who? Your Father. Your Father God is going to give you a bigger reward. All right. He says, but also think about the poor. Think about the crippled, think about the lame, think about the blind, because they are left out all the time. You know, just like I was talking about that kickball, you know, you're standing there in a group and everybody's getting picked except you, and how that feels that you don't ever get picked. You know, you be standing there on the field and then, you know, you don't get picked at all, and everybody starts playing, and you know what you have to do? You have to walk off of the field and go over to the side. And when you walk off the field and go over to the side, you know what you're doing? All you're doing is standing there watching everybody else have fun, and you're not. It's a bad feeling. Think about those people in our community that never get invited. And they know something is going on. They know that there's something going on at your house. They know that there's a party going on. They know that, you know, they know what we do. They know some of our activities. Maybe they don't know all of them, but they know sometimes what different things that are going on that they can be included in. And think about the fact that they know that there's a party or a big old fellowship, a cookout or something like that going on. And everybody's over, you know, to my house, or everybody's over to your house having a great time. And they're sitting at home by themselves, knowing that we're having a great time. They never get invited to dinner parties, or they never get invited to go out to eat at a fancy restaurant or a concert or a sporting event. And do you know that a lot of places nowadays have accessibility for people with disabilities? We can't even use that as an excuse. There was a time where we can use that as an excuse, but a lot of places have accessibility now. We can't even use that as an excuse not to invite somebody who has a disability that might limit their ability to be able to participate in certain things. They got you. You know, if you got somebody who got disability, they'll give you special parking. You got somebody who disability, they'll give you special seating. You know, sometimes you think about, and I know this is, don't take this the wrong way. Okay, don't take this the wrong way. Sometimes somebody with a disability will get you a great seat, because they can get a special seat. You can get a special seat right beside them, as opposed to the seat that you would have gotten. Think about it. Here's something else. We have to think about those people. Why? Because they live amongst us. And that's what Jesus was trying to get us to see constantly. We have people who live amongst us who are constantly divided from us. And he wants us to know that they are a part of our community. These people, they live amongst us. They also have a part in our community. Just as much as we are a part of our community, they are a part of our community as well. It's their community too. It's not just our community, but it's their community also. They want to shop at the same places that we shop at. They want to go to places to have fun, just like we go to places to have fun. They want to go out to eat too. They want to play dominoes. They want to play spades. Guess what? They pay their taxes too. They vote. Guess what? They're discriminated against just like we're discriminated against. And actually, they're discriminated against more so than we are. You know, they are talked about too. They, you know, folks talk about us. They talk about them too. Talk about them even worse. You know, they feel the impact of the good, the bad, and the ugly in our communities just as we do. In some cases, even more than we do. You know, they want somebody's shoulder to lean on and to cry on too. You know, they want somebody that they can go to and vent to. You know, we always looking for somebody, you know, we something bad happened. Oh, I just need to talk. We just need to vent, right? They want somebody that they can vent to. You know, they want to meet new people too. You know, they want to love too. You know, everybody needs love, right? Of all kind. You know, they want love too. You know, they are us and we are them. And we need to really see that. We really need to take that in. You know, my pastor, he used to say all the time, he used to tell us, he said, if we chase the people that nobody wants, God will send us the people that everybody's trying to get. And we made it. It was a priority of ours to really seek out people. Who are those people in our community that are oftentimes left out? Who are those people in our community that are oftentimes forgot about? Let's think about those people and let's go after those people. We are in a time now where we have a great opportunity to reestablish what true community looks like. You know, the pandemic has shut us down and taken away some of our community, the way community used to look and feel, the way we used to share in the four F's. The pandemic is constantly, you know, disrupting that. And, you know, we're trying to get to a place. And right now, you know, with the Omicron variant going on right now, a lot of people have been infected and what have you. You know, those numbers are really high. Guess what? They're going to come back down. It's a trend. This COVID thing is a trend. We can see the numbers going up and going down, looking over the last 2 years. And the scientists, the doctors, everybody, they can predict what's going to happen. And guess what? Every time they predict it, guess what? It happens the way they predicted it. It's a trend. We tell when it goes up and go down. Right now, it's really high. It's going to go down. Don't worry. It's going to go back down. Okay. And when it does, and when we start getting back to a place where we're getting back into community again, sharing in the four F's, you know, we have a great opportunity right now to reestablish what true community really looks like. So let's build a community that includes those that have been forgotten and left out. Let's go a bit further than just including them. Let's chase after them. Let's be intentional in their inclusion. Let's be intentional about inviting them. Let's be intentional about making sure that they are a part of our community. Let's be intentional about loving them. Let's be intentional about making sure that they are seen and heard. Jesus said that there is a reward for including them. He said there is a reward. Guess what? That sounds like an incentive to me. And I don't mean that to sound bad, but why would Jesus tell you? Why would Jesus tell them that? Ain't nothing wrong with incentives as long as incentives are put in the right place. He told him, he said, look, man. He said, you invited all your family and your friends, you know, and all the rich, your rich neighbors and stuff to your dinner parties. He said, why not invite the poor? Why not invite the cripple? Why not invite the lame and the blind? Invite those people that are left out, those people that don't nobody ever invite to anything. He said, when you invite those people, he said, inviting your friends and everybody, guess what? Your reward is just, they'll invite you back. Yeah, they'll invite you over their house. He said, but inviting those people who are constantly left out, he said, there is a greater reward in it. He said, a reward that comes from the Father. From Father God. Again, sounds like an incentive to me. So let's end today's message where we started. Just like beans and rice are good in themselves, but better together, we are also good in ourselves, but better together. But we only better together if everyone in our community is a part of it and are included. Our main point is sharing our differences is living in a true community. And our main scripture is this: by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.